Sid, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Sid, I didn't think to ask this, except the fact that the Dirt Mile fresh top of mind off of Mary's visit. We know that it's been an intrusive addition to the Breeders' Cup, taking away from both the Sprint and the Classic. I guess it serves the purpose for Breeders' Cup of being a handle generator. But what's its role, really, as a contributor to a stallion prospect? I mean, it just doesn't feel like it's all that valuable or important from that standpoint.
Well, I think if you, look at what Dick Mandela had told Rick Porter as related to Bill Finley in the article in TDN, he's leaning towards the Sprint because he feels it's a more prestigious race than the Breeders' Cup Mile, Dirt Mile. And, that kind of tells you all you need to know. The Dirt Mile is probably, for lack of better word, probably an easier spot, quote unquote. But he's decided to go in the Sprint because it's a much more prestigious race. You know, the thing is, mile races are important. You got the Cigar Mile. You got obviously the Metropolitan Mile. Those races are, pretty big on a stallion's resume. The Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, as opposed to the Breeders' Cup Mile on the grass, doesn't have that cachet, which you basically questioned with that idea in mind, and you're absolutely right.
Just looking at the and here's the list of winners, and of course City of Light last year. Battle of Midway, Tamar Coos, Leem's Map, and certainly his his stallion career off to a very nice start. Golden Sense back to back, Tapazar, Caleb's Posse, Dakota Phone, Furthest Land, Albertus Maximus, and Corinthian, the first of the Dirt Mile winners. So it isn't, it's not as if, that list, like Golden Sense, and I guess recent years, Golden Sense and Leem's Map, you can't argue with the early returns on their stallion efforts.
No, but, a horse like Leem's Map had won the prestigious Woodward. A horse like Golden Sense showed his form early by winning San Anita Derby at a mile and an eighth, later cut back in trips and won the, I think he won the Dirt Mile twice, didn't he?
Both
those horses are off the promising careers of stallions as well. They obviously, came into that race legitimate prospects beforehand. A horse like Catalina Cruiser, interestingly enough, if they do go in this Dirt Mile, and I don't know if they will or not, because the only blemish on his record, I believe, is that Dirt Mile from a year ago. Otherwise, he's perfect, isn't he? But the one thing he's lacking is that grade one win. And that would be important for his career as a stallion.
Now that's a fair point. So for a horse like him, mm-hmm. just getting that mark is probably enough. And so from that standpoint, you want to pick the race that is more likely to, you're more likely to win. I think when Vinny Viola and Todd Pletcher made that choice with Liam's Map, you know, it felt a little disappointing. I mean, because he looked
coming off the Woodward win too.
Yeah, it felt
exactly.
Like, you know, go for the brass ring. Although at the same time, going off with I guess a slam dunk's a slam dunk to some degree. I mean, you still have to go out and win it.
They don't give it away.
No, exactly. My biggest frustration. I have no problem with anybody that goes in this direction. In the Breeders' Cup's, interest in expanding the event, it invariably has taken horses from two of the much more important races, the Classic and the Sprint. Although this year, it's certainly not going to hurt the Sprint this year. The Sprint, which has been kind of limping along with smallish fields and a little less interesting than it used to be, not this year. It's got every potential to be as entertaining as any race on the card over the 2 days. Sid, aside from Breeders' Cup, I've got a whole bunch of things to talk about. And Nicole Russo actually is going to join us tomorrow, so we'll get some sale commentary from her regarding Saratoga. But the Saratoga sale yesterday, certainly a very good start for Practical Joke, sending weanlings through the ring.
Very good. The top two prices as well as the top two weanlings were a colt and a filly by Practical Joke for $160,000 and $150,000. Practical Joke, obviously, a G1 winning son of Into Mischief, like Golden Sense. Very, very popular line at the moment. Into Mischief is standing for $175,000 next year. I mean, he just he's a stakes machine. Having said that, he's only got five G1 winners, although he's got a bunch of stakes horses. But and coming into this year, he only had three. Two of those are Golden Scent and Practical Joke. So two good sons of his. The success of Golden Sense obviously helps Practical Joke, as does the success of his own sire. And Practical Joke's a great looking horse. Grade one winner at two when he won the Champagne. Grade one winner at three. Cut back in distance, as did Golden Sense. From their earlier successes at a mile or up. Coolmore, really knows how to pick those prospects. In fact, the third highest price weaning was by Classic Empire, $135,000, also at Coolmore. He was a champion 2-year-old. By Pioneer of the Nile, just like American Pharaoh, bred like him in that Pioneer of the Nile Stormcat cross. And, obviously that was a great bet by Coolmore as well. And you see how American Pharaoh is, performing. He leads, actually, right now. He leads the first crop list. And that's a great harbinger for Classic Empire too.
To talk about Practical Joke for a minute, and I just looking at his pedigree, he's a four generation outcross, and the only common thread 5x5 is Halo.
Yeah, I mean. That's good for him because it allows breeders to kind of mimic the success his own sire has had by putting those types of mares to him. So that's always a nice sign when you have a a son of a very successful son, and you can, you know, sort of copy that pattern. For example, when you see a pioneer of the Nile having success with Stormcat, you can do that again with a son of his that doesn't have Stormcat in him. And so a horse like Tactical Joe kind of lends itself to using all the same patterns that have fit with his sire.
I'm going down the female family too, and just you know, noting it he's going to Practical Joke should have every opportunity to hit because there's going to be something for almost any mare to latch onto. No,
yeah, that's a really good point. And also, you know, you take as you pointed out. You know, this particular line of Into Mischief, sometimes we even forget that it's a Stormcat line because it comes from Stormcat St. Harlan to Harlan's Holiday to Into Mischief to Practical Joke. So by the time, you know, you can breed back to this horse, Stormcat, and it'll be, you know, back in the fifth generation if there's a duplication. So there's a lot of, you're right, there's a lot of opportunity to, breed to this horse, a lot of the popular lines, and again, some of the lines that have been popular with his own sire.
You know, there's one name in here, Sid, and I don't know if he necessarily has... you know, particular or special, you know, registration with influence. But I do see the presence of Baffle down there as the sire of the fourth dam, Careless Moment. And Baffle was a seriously fast horse. So there's a little bit of everything in here. You know, Distorted Humor got the Practical Jokes Dam. The second dam is by Gilded Time. Third dam by Sonny's Halo. So there's you know, some Canadian blood flowing in, and Careless Moment, the fourth dam, by Baffle, who had a slew of track records by the time he hung it up. An interesting name to me.
Oh yeah, it's very interesting. Your name, you know, it's rarely seen in pedigrees, and if you look at who his sire was, it was a horse named Little Fella by Nergal, by Goya the Second. I mean, yeah, most people wouldn't even. It's such a anomaly, and yet, you know, that's what happens sometimes. You get, and you tend to find those horses too.
I love that. Yeah, it's one of my favorite things is seeing, you know, and this is a horse that, you know, won 18 times in 46 starts, and came away with track records at Bay Meadows and Santa Anita and. You know, against real horses, you know, going anywhere from six furlongs to a mile, and was precocious himself, and then was good as an older horse. We got to pull out who, you know who probably's got some insight would be Proctor. I guarantee you, Proctor could tell a story or two about.
Yeah,
about
probably
that.
Ran a bit.
I'm sure he saw Baffle as a kid. I may reach for him. So, mm-hmm. Well, beside the Practical Joke presence, there was a number of pieces of news Sid, that I thought you could comment on. And Claiborne, ready to stand to Marshall Yeh and a chance for North American breeders to get some blood of Dubawi domestically.
Yeah, in fact, I've recommended the horse twice this week. Coincidentally, just worked with two mares that, you know, I was doing some, we were doing a broodmare compatibility analysis report for some people, and I like the horse. I think he spoke to Bernie about him. I mean, he's, you know, what he went, 3 out of 4 starts, very talented horse, expensive yearling. Peter Brandt owns him, and Claiborne stands him. You know, Claiborne has frequently taken chances on European horses or foreign horses that had talent and had bloodlines that were, you know, not common in this country. This horse's bloodlines are certainly well known, and Dubawi is one of the top stallions in Europe, one of the top stallions in the world. So it's, you know, it's extremely well known. But, you know, it's typical of, you know, what Claiborne has done through the years, going all the way back. You know, imports have fueled the farm and have been massive influences, and ones that weren't massive influences have had influence later on in time. You know, even a horse like Ray Sabulot set a wild risk that they stood. You know, was a decent stallion, but ended up being a broodmare sire of Unbridled. So, you know, these horses come back even if they don't hit right away, and have extended influence. And you know, this is a horse I think will surprise some people. And it's great. I love it. Bernie asked me what I thought, and I just said I love the idea of you doing it. And, you know, he's going to be priced, I'm sure, in a very affordable range, too, given, you know, he doesn't have his racing career was cut short. And, you know, with people like Peter Brandt supporting him as well, gives you a shot.
Well, $5,000 is the fee that they set. And
oh, they announced it today?
Yeah, yeah, yesterday.
Oh yeah, because when Bernie had told me, he told me not to tell anybody, but
All right. The secret's out. You can go ahead. You can let some people.
When did this come out? Just recently?
Yesterday. Yesterday.
It. Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
He'll be the only son of Dubawi in Kentucky, and out of the Sadler's Wells mare. Love's all you need.
And by the way, the shares are going to go for $10,000. Which is a great deal, you know.
Well, obviously, you're thinking. You know, you're thinking turf. What kind of mares? I mean, who benefits? Who could take advantage of this, Sid? Ideally.
Well, I think first off, I don't think you're limited to turf because, you know, you take a look at some of these dirt winners in Dubai, and I think one of the dirt winners of the Dubai World Cup, for example, was with the Dubawi that won. For Claiborne, you go back two generations, and you know, you can see the attraction there on the sire line, seeking the gold line. Really, this is the best expression of it. This is the main male line of it, and it came through one horse, Dubai Millennium, who had one crop and died and got Dubawi in that crop. And it's gone from, you know, strength to strength, and it's kept the seeking the goal line for Claiborne alive. And there's actually some poetic justice here for both Claiborne and Peter Brandt, because Seeking the Gold is the son of Mr. Prospector, that Peter Brandt, back in the 70s, was instrumental with Seth Hancock of bringing from Florida to Claiborne. So Mr. Prospector got Seeking the Gold, and then the line really here on the mail line, Steve, it kind of evaporated, but came alive in Europe through that one crop of Dubai Millennium into Dubawi, and it's a massive right now. And it's, you know, Peter Brandt has gone back and he picked that one up. So that part is great. On the female side, this is a female line that, if you look at the second dam, Jude, by Darshan, Jude was a horse that, a mare that Richard Henry of Primus, that's the Coolmore advertising arm, and Richard Henry, the big insider, he and John Magner basically created a whole line of mares from Jude, and they were all named after Beatles songs. This one's damn Love Is All You Need, Sadler's Wells, and, bred by Newsells Park Stud, big outfit, German outfit. They stand Enable Sire, Nathaniel. They won the arc with Waldgeist. Very big outfit, really well connected all around. And this is a horse I think that, he's obviously got a lot of turf into him, but as with these horses, Steve, that Claiborne has brought over through the years that were turf, they ended up contributing to the dirt environment. And you can go all the way back to the Sir Galahad, the Prince Quillos, right through, the Nash Rulers in the 50s. French Derby winner Herbage and Le Fabuleux, going to the Argentine import for Lee. You've had the South African import Hawaii. It's a farm that has taken horses like this, bred their mares, their clients' mares, and reshaped those horses into American dirt horses. So in this case, this colt is not necessarily just all turf, even though he's got that type of pedigree.
You know, there's one thing in here too that really jumps off the page, because Shirley Heights appears in, 4x4, the daughter, or the son of, excuse me, of Mill Reef, and appears in the same position in both Dubawi's pedigree and in Love Is All You Need's pedigree. Shirley Heights got Darshan, who got Jude, and got Deploy, who got Zamorata, the dam of Dubawi. And so you've got you got that very important presence, Shirley Heights, in here, and Mill Reef. This is such an international, I should say, it's a bouillabaisse, really. I mean, you've got everything in here, including Forley. So you've got some South American, Argentine power. You've got French. Mm-hmm. You've got, oh, my gosh. I mean, there's a little bit of everything going on.
It's a great international pedigree. It's really a pedigree, if you want to be honest about it, it's a pedigree heavily slanted to stamina, in terms of a lot of pedigree markers, including this inbreeding Shirley Heights that you pointed out. But once again, you know, Shirley Heights is this beacon of stamina, a Epsom Derby winner who then got the French Derby winner, Darshan, who's also a huge stamina presence. Well, you know, both Shirley Heights was sired by Paul Mellon's Mill Reef, a product of that Natrula Prince Quiller cross we've already talked about. Mill Reef was by Never Bend, who stood at Claiborne, and a fast horse for Kane Hoy, Captain Guggenheim. And when Mill Reef actually went to Europe, you know, at the time there were questions about whether he'd stay that trip, which he obviously did. But, you know, it's a mixture of horses that have cross-pollinated on all sides of the Atlantic and even down south, South America, as you pointed out. It's a great mixture of pedigrees, and it's a who's who, really, when you take a look at it. Some of the great horses, and of course the sire line. This series, these stamina-based pedigrees, traces on the top line, on the sire line, to two very fast American horses, Raisin Native and his son, Mr. Prospector. And it's a great history lesson on the evolution of how two generations, how these pedigrees can be shaped, and how they can span the spectrum too. And likewise, by breeding some speedier horses to this stallion, and by breeding some dirt horses, you can they're malleable, and you can, you know, once again fit this into your program here.
He was a total outcross, Shirley Heights, bred by the Earl of Halifax and Lord Irwin, and campaigned by Lord Halifax, the Derby winner, English, Irish and English Derby winner, won the Royal Lodge and more. I'm surprised there isn't more. I'm surprised there isn't. That he isn't more celebrated. It's not like he's from 100 years ago. I mean, 78, right? Yes, he was a three-year-old to 78.
Yeah, and it's a sire line, again, that through the years has ceased to become prolific on the male line. It did go to Darshan, who was an Irakan horse, who was a terrific stallion. He's had some really good sons, Dalakani, et cetera. But what ended up happening was that this particular line took a back seat to the advent of Sadler as well as the Coolmore, and combined really well with Sadler as well. It was a classic Nick, so to speak, just as Nashville was with Prince Quillo. In Europe, the Sadler as well as with Darshan was that type of Nick, that type of combination that produced a host of really great horses. And you know, as things evolved, that was kind of similar to Galileo and Danehill now, which is what everybody talks about. But this is a horse that, getting back to Ma Chaillet, this is a type of horse that is open to a lot of breeding opportunities, Steve. So, you know, it should be interesting to see. He's only had 4 starts, 3 wins. He got hurt. He's that type of horse that Claiborne will take a chance on. You know, they've had these types before, lightly raised horses. Danzig, Drone, Flatter, who started off at 5,000 as well, now stands 40, and the sire of West Coast and whatnot. But if for somebody that's really wanting to get in and wanting to get in with Claiborne too, this is your entry. This is your first time buyer's house kind of thing. If you want to get with a farm that sometimes could be difficult to access at the higher levels. Once you do start to patronize them when they need you, I think you get some credit for that as you go up the scale.
Well, be interesting. We'll watch. Certainly feels like as you explained, it's a Claiborne-esque kind of a concept. So we'll look and see.
Yeah, but interestingly, Steve, this horse is not the only kind of quote unquote different pedigree to enter the marketplace. Windstar has Yoshida, a Son to Silence line horse, coming in. And, you know, with all this talk about diversity and whatnot, it's interesting to see these types of horses enter the commercial marketplace.
Well, and you mentioned Yoshida. There's a few runners coming out from Breeders' Cup that are going to make their way. In fact, I think Spendthrift just announced they also announced their roster and their fees, and Colefront and Mattoli, Vino Rosso, Omaha Beach, all yet to be determined pricing based
on
outcomes.
And Omaha Beach is a terrifically, terrifically attractive prospect.
Yeah, and Mattoli, given how much success Escondorea had, seconds after he was sent to Korea, you would think that Mattoli's going to get plenty of attention.
He's very
popular. Right?
Yeah. He's already been booked up solidly from what I mean. He's getting, I think his stud fee is going to start to go up. You know, first I think they were offering seasons for 20 or 25, or they were taken, and then, they've been bumping up slightly. Maybe if it was 20, it's now up to 25. Of course, they breed a lot of mares, but, he's going to be very popular, absolutely.
Vino Rosso, with his glittering pedigree and as the son of Curlin there as well. Those outcomes, we'll see. Going to also ask you, I had so much for you, Animal Kingdom being sent to Japan.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of, a line that was introduced here, the Bush and Groom line, reintroduced with him, so to speak, out of a German mare. It's a shame that, he was the type of horse that could have, taken off sort of like an Uncle Mo from the Carroll line. He did well enough. But his stud fee was dropping. He'd been down to 15. And, I think at some point it just becomes more. They gave him plenty of opportunity here as well as in Australia. But, he wasn't quite able to get over that hump. And, obviously as soon as he left, he got that stakes winner, another stakes winner recently. I would have loved to have seen, him succeed here, but they all, unfortunately, they don't all do it.
Well, I would imagine that that Barry Irwin will be on the lookout for for those sons and daughters that are produced down there, and he'll just bring them back. That's all.
he did with the one in Australia, and came and won the stakes at Keeneland with
Alexandra, that they're excited about,
yeah.
They've got a decision to make about potentially running her in the sprint, the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. And when we talk to Nicole Russo, maybe she's got some news on that front. Sid, I mean, I literally, there's so much going on. All the broodmare announcements, we'll worry about that after Breeders' Cup, but I do see some very big names that are going to go through at Keeneland and at Fasig. A lot of supplements to those catalogs, and also, you know, racing prospects, a horse like Quip and others. So we'll keep a tab on that. And finally, considering that we started talking about what a Breeders' Cup win can do for somebody, what do you think Chad Brown and company, Seth Klarman, what do you think is the better spot for Bricks and Mortar? Is there any value for him and his, you know, and his prospects going forward to win the turf or the mile?
Oh, definitely not the mile. And I'm talking Breeders' Cup mile on the turf.
Sure.
I think, you know, he's going to stud in Japan next year. They've sold the breeding rights. They have a chance to win the Horse of the Year. They could do that with a win in the turf. But, you know, a sporting chance of going in this, particularly this year in the Breeders' Cup Classic, would almost seal the deal for them. You know, I understand he's a turf horse, but I think he's got that locked up. So anything outside that to take a chance, I guess, would practically seal it for him. Wouldn't you think?
It's an interesting proposition, and we'll see what I think. It depends on a lot of other results, you know. I think it's exciting to stretch him out to a mile and a half. And
I do too. I like that. I like the turf, man. You know, and who knows? Who knows what? You know, the people that pay the breeding rights, you know, what they might think as well, since, you know, the horse's reputation kind of is on the line that way. And for Japan, a mile and a half on turf is lovely. But again, you know, if he does take that shot, he's at a weird distance. Dilemma too. I'd hate to see him cut back to the mile, you know, and possibly run at a trip that might not be as good for him as a little longer, especially with his pedigree.
Well, I was going to say, given that pedigree, and particularly the female family, you know, between Olympia and Stage Door Chani, Exceller, Ocean Crest, there's so much stamina,
and not to mention Giant's Causeway.
Yeah, exactly. Forget about him. So I certainly, off of the quote, off of what Chad Brown told Dave Granick, off this most recent work about how relaxed and how easy Bricks and Mortar is coming up to this, it really feels like, and the fold-in enabled, you know, not coming, it really feels like this is his chance to close out and add, you know, another important plaudit to his, to his remarkable season, and then he's, then you let the chips fall where they may with Midnight Bisou and I guess Code of Honor to some extent. I the whole Horse of the Year thing is such a, it's such a strange year, and it really feels like we're going to have to, let's see what happens with Omaha Beach. Oh my God, there's a lot of intrigue on that front. I'm not even worried. I'm not even thinking about those year end issues.
If this were Coolmore and they owned this horse,
they would
take this horse and put it in the classic.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Because that's just. I mean, they put Galileo in the classic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, they put John Croswell in the classic.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, all right. I don't think it's not in the cards with this team, but
no, not at all. No.
This is a
thought exercise, though.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to go if I own the horse, I'd go in the mile and a half race. If I were to take a sporting chance and I was going to stand the horse in this country, I throw them in the classic. And that's kind of what Coolmore does. They throw them in the classic because that has that chance for the stud value here. But he's going to Japan, and it's moot.
Was there, before we go on the same topic with him, was there much interest at all in from American breeding interest to keep him in the U.S.?
There might be, but right now what you have... Steve, is the Japanese for these types of horses are able to bid so much more than what the Americans can. And particularly with the loss of Deep Impact this year, the loss of their, or the retirement of King Kamehameha, another top stallion, they have money to spend that's plus premium over what anybody here can take. And they're not going to pay here for a turf horse what the Japanese could pay.
Yeah, I was curious. Because it did. I mean, when it came out that he was headed there, it wasn't shocking. And of course, Seth Klarman's his first major winner, went to South America, and Subordination.
Right.
This was wide ranging, Sid. We touched all the bases.
Yes.
Sort of like the Nationals did over their 4-game sweep of the of the Cardinals. A reminder to everybody to work with Sid, work Thoroughbred Consultants, and you reach them at 510-490-1111. All the work that you got to be doing now. I mean, this is it. You got about 90 days. It's hard to believe. What are we? 900? Call it 100 days to breeding season, and your decisions. You got to get them lined up. And as Sid was hinting, some of the stallions you may be thinking about are filling up, and you may end up getting shut out. Get a hold of Sid, 510-490-1111. Broodmare compatibility analysis, and if you haven't registered your new stallion for Enix, you got to do that as well. Sid, thanks so much.
Okay. Talk to you next week.
You got it. Sid Fernando. And we'll start to get Sid thumbing through those pedigrees toward Breeders' Cup calls. We're at the top of the hour. And Alex Lieblong, who we have just such respect and appreciation for, is going to join us. And Wicked Whisper heading into the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Excited for Alex and Joanne to have a young horse like this. He'll join us next at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 38463.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade One race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I get tired and upset, and I'm trying to care a little less. I was taught to dodge those issues. I was told, don't worry, there's no doubt. There's always something to cry about. When you're stuck in an angry crowd, you don't think what they say.
What's the thing wrong with this radio?
We're back at the races, hour three on this Wednesday. Been looking forward to a visit from Alex Lievelong for the last week or so after the win by Wicked Whisper. And the Frisette propels her toward the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, just the latest in a long-running series of stake horses for the Lievelongs.